Every spring, somewhere in North America, somebody installs a sump pump incorrectly and spends the following wet season mopping up a basement that their sump pump should have been handling. I've watched it happen to neighbors, to clients, and to people I know who watched 3 YouTube tutorials and thought they had it figured out. The tutorials are not wrong exactly. They just leave out the parts that matter the most. This is a complete walkthrough of sump pump installation. Not the simplified version. The full version, with the details that turn a pump that sort of works into a pump that does its job when a real storm hits. Let's start with the pit. The sump pit is the excavated cavity in your basement floor that collects groundwater before it can rise high enough to flood the space. In most homes with an existing sump system, the pit is already there, a cylindrical cavity, usually 18 to 24 inches in diameter and roughly 30 inches deep, lined with either a prefabricated basin or just bare concrete walls. If you're adding sump drainage to a basement that doesn't have existing drainage, that excavation is the first and most significant piece of work. And it may involve breaking concrete with a rotary hammer or demolition saw. Before you do anything else with an existing sump pit, clean it out completely. Remove any accumulated sediment, old gravel, debris from the last pump, or whatever the pit has been collecting while inactive. Check the walls of the pit for cracks or water infiltration points you weren't aware of. Check whether the pit has weep holes, small holes drilled into the concrete or basin walls to allow groundwater to seep in from the surrounding soil. If it doesn't have weep holes, and you're installing in an area with significant hydrostatic pressure, you'll want to add them. Standard sizing is half-inch holes drilled at the base of the pit walls at 2 to 4 inch spacing around the perimeter. The mystery I want you to hold on to right now is this. There's a version of sump pump failure that happens not from the pump quitting, but from a detail that nobody checks during installation. We'll get to it. New basin or old basin. If you're replacing a pump, leave the existing basin in place unless it's cracked, significantly deteriorated, or undersized for the drainage load you're dealing with. A new basin is not an upgrade. It's extra work. If the old one is intact and the right size, clean it and use it. If you need a new basin, purchase a basin with holes already punched or plan to punch them yourself. Solid wall basins are sold, and they should not be used in most residential installations. They collect groundwater poorly and put more stress on the pump by requiring the water to find another entry point. The pump itself. For most residential basements, a quarter horsepower submersible pump handles standard drainage needs. 1/3 horsepower is appropriate if you're dealing with a high water table, a basement below grade on multiple sides, or an area with heavy spring flooding. Half horsepower pumps exist and are genuinely needed in some situations. If you have a history of basement flooding during major storm events or live in a low-lying area, they're worth considering. But a lot of people buy larger pumps than they need because they assume bigger is always better. In a sump system, what matters is not maximum horsepower, but reliable operation at the load you actually face. An oversized pump short cycles. It turns on, quickly removes the water, turns off, turns on again almost immediately. And short cycling reduces pump lifespan significantly. Float switch type matters. The two common types are tethered floats and vertical floats. Tethered floats use a weighted ball on a cord that rises and falls with the water level. They're reliable, but require an unobstructed arc to operate. If the basin is small or the float gets caught on the basin wall, the pump won't activate. Vertical floats ride up and down on a fixed rod attached to the pump and don't require clearance around them. For smaller basins, vertical floats are generally preferable. For larger basins, both work well. What I don't recommend is buying a pump based solely on price without confirming the float type. Tethered float pumps in small basins cause more service calls than almost any other residential pump issue. The discharge line is where most DIY installs go wrong. The discharge line is the pipe that carries water from the pump up and out of your basement to a discharge point outside the house. Standard residential discharge uses 1 1/4 or 1 1/2 inch PVC pipe connected to the pump's threaded outlet with a compression fitting or barbed connector. The line runs vertically out of the pump, transitions to horizontal, and exits through either a rim joist penetration, the framing at the top of your foundation wall, or a dedicated penetration through the foundation wall itself. Before you seal anything, install a check valve in the vertical section of the discharge line, within 6 to 18 inches of the pump outlet. The check valve allows water to flow only upward. It prevents the water in the discharge line from flowing back down into the basin when the pump turns off. Without a check valve, every time the pump shuts down, the water in the line drains back into the pit. The pump has to remove that water again on the next cycle. It's not catastrophic, but it wastes pump cycles and increases wear. More importantly, if your pump is borderline sized for your drainage load, the back drain from a missing check valve can put you behind the curve during a heavy rain event. Install the valve. It costs $12 to $18. The exterior discharge point needs to be located carefully. The water has to exit at least 4 to 6 feet from the foundation, discharging toward a slope that carries it away from the house. This is obvious in theory and routinely ignored in practice. I have seen discharge lines that empty 6 inches from the foundation wall, directly against the footer drainage membrane. That water will work its way back into the soil adjacent to the foundation within minutes of discharge. You are running your pump to undo your pump's own work. The discharge point needs to be 4 feet minimum from the foundation. 6 feet is better, and it needs to terminate with a freeze-resistant exit cap that prevents critters from nesting in the line during dry seasons and prevents freeze blockage during winter. Now, the detail that many installs miss, the one I mentioned at the start, the air gap. When your discharge pipe passes through the rim joist or foundation wall, you need a small air gap, a section of the line inside the basement where the pipe has a small hole or fitting that allows air in. The purpose of this gap is to prevent a phenomenon called back siphoning. In certain plumbing configurations, especially if your discharge line is long or has sections that create a vacuum when the pump shuts off, a negative pressure can develop in the line that pulls water backward from the discharge point and into the basement, directly into your finished space, not into the pit. It's relatively uncommon, but it's documented, and it's prevented entirely by a simple 1/8 inch hole drilled in the discharge pipe, inside the basement, approximately 6 to 12 inches above the basin. The hole allows air into the line, breaks the vacuum, and ends the back siphon risk permanently. Most installation guides don't mention it because it only matters in the right conditions. Those conditions exist in some homes, and the homeowner doesn't find out until the storm, when the pump ran fine, but water appeared in the basement anyway from the discharge line running backward. Drill the hole. It takes 12 seconds. The pump is now installed. The check valve is in. The discharge line is properly routed 4 to 6 feet from the foundation with a freeze-resistant cap. The air gap hole is in the pipe. The float is adjusted so the pump activates when water reaches roughly 5 to 7 inches in the basin, not at the lowest possible level, which causes short cycling, and not so high that the water is already close to the basement floor before the pump runs. Test the pump before you close everything up. Pour 5 gallons of water into the pit from a bucket, slowly, while watching the float. The pump should activate, remove the water, and shut off cleanly. If the float doesn't rise, check for binding against the basin wall. If the pump activates, but water remains in the pit, check for an airlock in the discharge line. An airlock traps a pocket of air in the pipe that prevents water from flowing past it, and it's cleared by disconnecting the discharge line briefly to let the air escape, then reconnecting. Backup power is worth discussing. Your sump pump runs on household current. If a storm that requires your sump pump to run also knocks out power to your house, which happens regularly because the storms that cause basement flooding are the same storms that bring down power lines, your pump stops working. There are two options: a battery backup system that provides a secondary pump powered by a dedicated battery, or a water-powered backup system that uses municipal water pressure to drive a pump and requires no electricity. Battery systems are more capable but require periodic battery replacement. Water-powered systems are maintenance light but only work if your municipal water supply stays on during the outage. For most homes, a battery backup system for a pump that runs 15 to 20 gallons per minute at full battery is sufficient for most outage scenarios. For homes with serious flooding history, both systems may be warranted. There is a category of sump pump failure that doesn't announce itself in the way you'd expect. The pump still runs. The pump still moves water. But the pump runs longer than usual because the discharge water is finding its way back to the pit through soil channels that have opened up over years of water movement through your foundation drainage layer. Essentially, the pump removes water. The water migrates through the soil back toward the foundation. The pump removes it again. The pump works harder for diminishing returns, and the basement stays drier than without a pump, but wetter than it should be. The solution to this is almost always exterior. Grading correction, foundation drain inspection, or waterproofing membrane repair. But the symptom of it is a sump pump that runs far more frequently than your neighbor's during the same rain event, and a basement that has a persistent slight dampness that you attribute to the weather. If this describes your situation, the pump is not your problem. The pump is managing a drainage failure that needs to be addressed from outside the house. One additional note on seasonality. If you're in a climate where the basement temperature drops significantly in winter, inspect the exterior portion of your discharge line before the first freeze of the season. Discharge lines that run through unheated crawl spaces or along cold exterior walls can freeze in winter, blocking the line completely. A frozen discharge line during a January thaw, which is exactly when some homes face their highest groundwater load, means the pump activates and runs against a closed line, either tripping the thermal overload protector or running dry until it overheats. You can insulate the exterior portion of the discharge line with pipe insulation foam for about $6. That $6 of foam is the cheapest piece of insurance in the system. If you're in a spring flooding zone and your pump has been in place for more than 5 years, test it now, before the rains come, not during them. Pour water in the pit. Watch the cycle. Check the discharge. Replace the check valve if it's more than 5 years old. A check valve that fails open is a minor inconvenience. A check valve that fails closed while your pump is running is a different situation. The pump does its job in the dark, in the middle of the storm, when you are not watching it. It either works or it doesn't. The installation is the only time you have control over which one it will be. Was the installation worth doing yourself? Or is this the kind of job where one detail going wrong costs you more than the labor you saved?